Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, she's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Your host, Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSC Talk Radio. It's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. We're going to have a twofold show today. As we begin, we're going to discuss the economics of ride sharing. The Missouri governor here recently signed a bill, and many other states are looking at signing similar bills. Well, what is ride sharing? I had to kind of look that up. I haven't been following everything. I can't keep up with everything. But Uber Technologies Incorporated is a transportation network company, and it's headquartered in San Francisco, California, not here in the United States, operating in 570 cities worldwide. It develops markets and operates the Uber car transportation and food delivery mobile apps. Uber drivers use their own cars, although the drivers can rent a car to drive with Uber. The name Uber is a reference to the common and somewhat slangy word. It means topmost or super, and having its origins in the German word Uber, meaning above. Anyway, that's what it is, and it's pioneering the sharing economics of transportation. Uber has been a pioneer in the sharing economy, and the changes in the industries as a result of the sharing economy have been referred to as Uberfication. Well, Jared Meyer is my guest today. He's a millennial and senior research fellow. I love that. He's a fellow at the Foundation of Government Accountability. He researches the economic effects that various government regulations have on labor markets. Meyer is a co-author of Disinherited, How Washington is Betraying America's Young, and the, you know, they're betraying the old as well, and the author of Uber Positive, Why Americans Love the Sharing Economy. He has testified before various congressional committees and is also a member of Forbes 30 Under 30 for Law and Policy. Prior to joining the FGA, Meyer was a fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. The marvel of all history, this is my George Washington quote once again, the marvel of all history is the patience with which men and women submit to burdens unnecessarily laid upon them by their government. Have we run out of patience yet? We, the people here at CSC Talk Radio, welcome you this morning to our show. Jared, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I want to talk a little bit about this. I was kind of shocked when I got the email to have you on the air today. Let's talk about ride sharing, because I'm not sure if my listeners are kind of like me. I haven't really been following it. I remember when Uber kind of started coming to be, and people that was their competition weren't very happy with them. And so let's talk about the economics and what this really means for the state of Missouri and any other state. I believe Texas is getting ready to sign a similar bill, and some of the other states are as well. What does this mean economically?
Well, it means that states like Missouri and Texas are going to join the 37 other states that have legal frameworks that legalize the ride-sharing business model throughout all cities. And what we've seen is in states that don't have a legal framework, different cities have popped up different regulations that make it hard for the business model to operate. Effectively, what they've done is taken the model that worked for taxis a few decades ago and tried to apply that to new technology, and it just flat out did not work.
Okay. Well, whenever they first got started, what I was thinking that was actually the issue was, once again, union versus non-union, because I know that the hotel business and the cab drivers, the cab businesses, they're not too happy with the competition that Uber provides. So let's talk about that competition a little bit.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Airbnb, for example, with the hotel industry and the unions that staff hotels, that was clear union opposition. But with ride sharing, taxi drivers actually are independent contractors, the majority of them are. So this wasn't necessarily unions,
okay,
as it was people who had a financial interest in keeping their monopolies going. In many cities, because back in the 1930s when taxi laws were passed, they created a cap on the number of cabs that could operate. In New York now, there are fewer yellow cabs than there were in the 1930s. And because of this government monopoly, these services, these legacy industries, haven't been able to keep up with consumer demand. So when a new service came in, like Uber or Lyft, they were able to gain market share quickly because they actually focused on meeting customers' needs and making the driving experience better for drivers. Yet a lot of people who owned these, you know, medallions or these permits to rent to run taxis, they were not happy about having to all of a sudden compete for their customers.
So what is, I understand that the competition, you always have to kind of man up a little bit when you've got a competitor out there. So now they've actually got a competitor, and that was part of the issue. So, well, always the consumer benefits when there's competition. We've been hearing that over and over and over again in other arenas that we've been discussing, such as healthcare, which is really insurance. It's not healthcare. Let's get that straight. But here in the Midwest, where I am, we really don't have. We've got maybe one little taxi here in town that kind of helps with taking people back and forth when they can no longer drive. But we don't deal with the taxi service here in this little area that I'm in. Now, they Jeff City, Kansas City, and St. Louis, they've all got that in Springfield. But the competition is what really makes things work. So you want to... you want to outdo your competitor, and is the, are the say the yellow cab companies, are they not able to outdo or outperform the Uber or the Lyft companies?
Well, there's 2 points. First, there are a lot of regulations that place undue burdens on taxis. But unfortunately, rather than trying to push to rid themselves of these regulations, taxi cartels, I like to call them, took the path of trying to ban services like Uber and taking outdated regulations and applying it to the new technology. So there's kind of two ways to level the playing field. Get rid of old pointless regulations or apply old pointless regulations to everyone. But secondly, I grew up in a town of 24,000 in Illinois, and I was going to the airport the other week, and my parents, I didn't want to have to wake them up at 5 a.m., so I actually got an Uber in a town of, again, 24,000, because as this grows and as the ride-sharing business model expands, it's creating new transportation options that simply weren't there before. If I would have tried to do this just a few years ago, I would have had to spend a couple hundred dollars on a black car. Instead, I was able to do it for less than a third of the price by getting Uber and at the same time allow someone who had some extra time and was able to use their car to make some money. I think it's a win-win, and it's all about extending options that were previously only available to a select few, maybe who lived in Manhattan or who had enough money to get a private car service. Now this is truly a service for the 99%.
I had a young friend that was kind of in a precarious position, and she was in the Jefferson City area here in the state of Missouri, and she needed a ride back and forth for her dialysis, and it was costing her $40. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like much. Jeff City's not that big a place, but $40 for a taxi to go to her dialysis, and she had to go three times a week. And I'm thinking, Jeff City isn't that big. How much does it cost to go from one end of it to the other? That it would be $40 or $50 just to do that. Now, I'm not sure what it was that was charging her that much, but that's, you know, I was kind of trying to help her out just a little bit. And it was just crazy what it was costing.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why ride sharing has been able to really create a, everyone wins scenario is because drivers are so much busier often in D.C. where I live right now. Before the driver even drops me off, they have their next ride already lined up to pick up right in the same area. So because they're constantly busy, they're able to have lower fares yet make more money than cab drivers who have to sit idly driving around looking for fares fairly often. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing where people can make more money and it's cheaper for consumers like your friends.
Well, we're going into a break. I want to talk about regulations because that's something that we do refer to quite a bit here on CSE Talk Radio. So if you'll hang on for the next segment, Jared, I want to come back to you. Let's maybe talk a little bit about those two books you've been writing. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We're talking about ride sharing, and Jared Meyer is our guest today, and we the people, we'll be right back. Sir William Blackstone stated back in 1783, "So great, moreover, is the regard of the law for private property that it will not authorize the least violation of it. No, not even for the general good of the whole community." There will be a Range Rights and Resource Symposium held May 19th through the 20th at Bellevue University in Omaha, Nebraska. Register now at rangerights.com. Topics will include environment, fires, grazing, wild horses, government intimidation, constitution and private property, in God and constitution we trust, and so much more. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, property, and prosperity. That's the American dream. Mark your calendars for May 19th through the 20th and head to Bellevue University in Omaha, Nebraska. For details, visit rangerights.com. I hope to see you there. You're familiar with Range Magazine, packed with hard, cold facts regarding the battles we face out on the range and at home. Beyond the battles are beauty and pictures and words that will take you to another place and time. CJ and Range Magazine have produced a line of hardbound books that should be a part of your home library. The most recent publication is Cowboys and Critters, containing unique photos of the people and animals that make up the ranching world. These beautiful books, which make fantastic gifts, have won numerous awards, such as the prestigious Wrangler Award, First Place in Journalism, Will Rogers Gold Medal Award. So many honors, great photos, and wonderful poems and stories of the West. Reflections of the West, Brushstrokes and Balladeers, The M-Bar, The Call of the Cow Country. You can't resist the art and cowboy poetry books. Visit rangemagazine.com for a complete list of prices. Call 1-800-RANGE-4-U. That's 1-800-726-4348. Be sure to let them know Beth Ann sent you. Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And we have returned to listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Jared, I'm gonna stray just a little bit in our conversation because what we were talking about and with regulations, we are being regulated to death here in the United States. I think you probably agree with that. Do you not?
Oh, I 100% agree.
Okay. Okay. Well, your book title, it intrigued me, and I know how Washington is betraying America's youth. Now, why did you just put America's youth? I kind of wanted to know why you categorized it just with our young people, because our young citizens, because I feel like my generation, which is quite a bit older than you are, I'm not a millennial. In fact, my children probably wouldn't be considered millennials anymore. So why did you just say the youth?
Well, I think, first of all, I wanted to shift the narrative. Too often when we're talking about policies that are holding back young people, it's politicians like Bernie Sanders that are Ooh. Taking up this cry.
Well, now, he wanted to give them free college.
Yeah, they act as if you just give them free college, you know, triple the minimum wage, and then everything will be fine.
Pat them on the head.
Tell them, give them a trophy, maybe, for participation. But I wanted to take back the narrative and show that, no, it's a lot of government government policies are explicitly working against young people's interests. Everything from obviously overpromising on entitlements like Social Security and Medicaid to driving up the cost of college by throwing unlimited amounts of money at schools to even things like occupational licensing that keep out new workers from the workforce. So I focus specifically on millennials, but there is obviously a very good argument to be made that government policy is disadvantaging all Americans.
You know, one thing that I thought really was a slap in the millennials' faces, the young people that are normally pretty healthy, was Obamacare, forcing them to buy insurance that they did not need or want at that time in their lives.
You are 100% right. I had a whole chapter on the Affordable Care Act, how it had the young people not being able to pay less than one-third of what an older person pays, even though it's about 1-6 is the normal ratio. So we were explicitly making younger, poorer people subsidize Americans who were in their prime earning years. Because remember, these are people who are under 65 who were benefiting from the Affordable Care Act. Everyone over it already had Medicare. So, yeah, it was making young, poor people pay for their parents' health care. I found it a little odd.
You know, my dad, who's no longer with us, but years and years ago, he used to talk about how people would, particularly in the senior citizens, and which he was one, would talk about their how bad it was because they had, they had the income. They didn't have the income that they used to have. They're on a fixed income, they called it, a fixed income. And he goes, I don't understand that. He says, these young people out there, of course, I was one of those, with all this family, I raised five sons, all these families, they're the ones that are struggling to make it. And yet we're the ones getting the discounts at the restaurants because we're on a fixed income, he said, and yet we can afford that more. And he wasn't a rich man. He wasn't a wealthy man. He bragged about not being wealthy. He was a piano tuner, so he didn't make $1 million or anything like that. But he would talk about the, you know, how weigh the difference there, and he had more compassion because he had been there as well, you know, with those who are in the mode of raising families and doing those things and trying to make it on the income that they have. Now, during the break, my producer's got a little bit of a cold today and fighting with his voice, but during the break he was telling me that he actually did some Uber work. He did the Uber thing for a little while and made pretty good money doing it. And you know, it's an entrepreneurial type of thing where you can get in there and make some money and help other people out as well. It adds competition, and anytime we add competition to the economy, it helps. You know, consumers have choices, and the consumers can make the decision of where they want to go and who they want to use.
Yeah, and the vast majority of Uber and Lyft drivers work part-time for supplemental income. If we're looking at Lyft specifically, 80% work under 15 hours a week. So this is something to help pay your car bill or maybe pay towards your mortgage. It's not usually a full-time job, but the same technology that made it possible for people to earn a living driving around in their cars is making it possible for people to work in entrepreneurial ventures all throughout the economy. It's become cheaper and cheaper to market your business, build up your reputation, and also find customers. And what this has done is really expanded the pool of people who can work in entrepreneurial fields. So I think this goes far beyond things like Uber and Lyft.
Well, I would challenge you, and maybe you already have because you've been working in research, but the regulations that the government, and of course we're seeing some of that get cut now with the new president. He's trying to make some common sense out of some of the things that have been done. But rural America has been hit pretty hard, and nobody talks about that. We talk about it here, but the majority that you hear on these other news networks, they really don't focus in on rural America, which I believe, Jared, is the foundation of all America, because if we don't eat, we aren't going to survive. And the rules and regulations and even getting to be kind of a corporatism or a monopoly of sorts with big ag instead of individual farmers and ranchers, and they're kind of attacking them and trying to squeeze them out. And, you know, the bigger corporations, they can kind of handle some of those regulations to a degree. But the individual sovereign, I like that word, farmer and rancher are having a lot of trouble surviving. In fact, most of them can't. You know, the people complain about the subsidies from the government. Well, we would love nothing more than to not need or want those. But because the markets have been fixed and manipulated, they can't earn a living on the farm anymore. And so that would be a good thing for you to look into if you haven't already, because that's something we fight here in rural America on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I will just say that, for example, like my mom, she would go to Goodwill and buy old sweaters and make mittens out of them and sell them at craft fairs.
Oh, wow.
But her business, I mean, you can sell a few mittens going and selling them at craft fairs, but now because of online platforms like Etsy, which is, you know, eBay for homemade crafty goods, she could theoretically reach anyone in the world if she still wanted to do this.
So it's all about
what I see is technology opening up new opportunities to people regardless of where they live, regardless of the connections they have to, let's say, a big business, and that all they need is an internet connection and being able to market their business and put in a lot of hard work, and they can make a living now. So I see this as something that's optimistic and might help rural America bounce back and have access to the opportunities that a lot of big cities do.
Okay, now let me hone in here on who you are. In the introduction, they called you a millennial. And we have been seeing all these things in all these protesters in the colleges and on the university campuses fighting against free speech. I mean, they seem to be clueless of what really they should be clinging to, and a lot of people have lost hope in our young people. I have not, because I see people like you, and, you know, I have not lost hope. So coming from a millennial yourself, what do you see in the future with the young people that are coming up? We see these protesters and we think, oh my goodness, are they going to be our leaders of the future? We're done because they're all about socialism. What do you see, Jared?
Well, I think I did over 50 talks on college campuses last year. Unfortunately, I was never protested, so I never got to.
Unfortunately, huh?
But I will point out, I had multiple college students tell me this is a small, very, very vocal minority that gets offended at everything. And people are scared to speak out and say, hey, you know what? I want to hear differing views. Or, you know what? Maybe markets aren't evil. Like, just they're scared to say these things because it's almost a witch hunt that goes against students. So why there are definitely, there's a big problem, and it worries me a lot. Thankfully, that's a small minority of students right now. And also, I would say that no millennial who has any sense is actually a socialist. Again, I talked to thousands of young people, and I haven't found a single one that wants the government to tell companies they love, like Apple, how many iPhones to make or what features to put in the next iPhone. Thankfully, the generations before us settled the debate between true socialism, where government runs the economy, and a free market system. Young people have just forgotten that, and they equate socialism with a nice country. They don't realize that it's government telling Apple what to do.
So oh, it's you telling you what to do. Everybody what to do. I mean, that's what, you know, we're just about out of time, and I have another question for you, but I was going to say, I'm against Obamacare, not because I thought it was a bad bill, which I did. I'm against national health care. And so that's socialism. I don't like the government getting into that. But I have a question. Somebody called and wanted me to ask you the definition of a millennial.
Millennials are usually about 18 to 29 or 34. It depends. People have different ones. I use about 18 to 34, so college students to people who are now maybe just, you know, having kids and things
or just,
like that.
Just getting in the workforce. Not quite there, just getting started. All right, Jared, we're out of time here. I appreciate you being with us. Keep in touch, okay? And thank you.
Thank you for being
one of those millennials that actually wants to make a difference and get in there and cut some of those regulations and get this economy going. Thank you so much, Jared. Appreciate all that you do. We're going into a break. We, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're going to have a twofold show. And so we're going to change the topic. And the topic will be, it's not all black and white, or is it? 877-895-5410 is the number to call. 877-895-5410, and we will be right back.
Roger Simmermaker has compiled a wonderful book, My Company, Tis of Thee, listing 50 Patriot American companies for your convenience as a consumer. Part of bringing America home is supporting America by supporting American companies who have stayed steadfast and loyal to keeping their companies here and keeping Americans employed. Purchase your book today. My Company, Tis of Thee is a valuable tool.
only $15.95 will bring you to the resources of 50 patriotic American companies. 50 companies that every consumer should know about. Get your copy of My Company, Tis of Thee today. Send $15.95 to CSE Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Or you can order online at csctalkradio.com. Reward these American patriotic companies with your business. My Company, Tis of Thee, just $15.95, so order today. At CSC Talk Radio, we salute these patriotic companies.
A girl needs accessories. So does a website these days. It's not enough to have just one accessory either. CSC Talk Radio is excited to announce we have an app for that. You can now listen to CSC Talk Radio easily on your smartphones, Android or iPhone. We have an app for that. Share this app-portant news with your friends and family. They can now join in the common sense. Calling all patriots. We have an app for that. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Listen to live streaming or the show's podcast designed for Triple L. Listening later leisurely. Accessories are necessary. Join CSC Talk Radio on your phone. We've accessorized. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Working with technology to bring America home. We have an app for that. CSCTalkRadio.com. CSCTalkRadio.com.
Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cederstrom a friend and honored. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio, a Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty. Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience and gold and silver trading be your investment guide. From precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Sir William Blackstone stated back in 1783, "So great, moreover, is the regard of the law for private property that it will not authorize the least violation of it. No, not even for the general good of the whole community." There will be a Range Rights and Resource Symposium held May 19th through the 20th at Bellevue University in Omaha, Nebraska. Register now at rangerights.com. Topics will include environment, fires, grazing, wild horses, government intimidation, constitution, and private property, in God and Constitution we trust, and so much more. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, property, and prosperity. That's the American dream. Mark your calendars for May 19th through the 20th and head to Bellevue University in Omaha, Nebraska. For details, visit rangerights.com. I hope to see you there. We have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is a new segment here. We're doing a two-fold show today. All is not black and white, or is it? I wasn't raised myself to be a prejudiced person, prejudiced against any people for whatever reason. I was raised to show respect and to value life. What are we experiencing in this nation today? It's just abhorrent to me, in my eyes and in my mind. How do we learn? And how do we turn around from this? Can we turn it around? There will always be those jerks in the world, but the bullies and jerks should not be leaders. Now I have a couple of different things I wanted to talk about, and they're almost on the opposite side of the spectrum, but they're not really, because we're talking about respecting people. This is an ESPN, Michael Smith made a comment that if you're in a city in America, you are a racist city. If you're a city in America, you're a racist city. I don't know what happened, but he's the co-host of ESPN SC6, which I have no clue what that is other than it's a sports show. And he had a strong reaction Tuesday to a group of Boston Red Sox fans using racial slurs toward Baltimore Orioles center fielder Adam Jones Monday night, with one fan throwing peanuts at him. So this is what spurred that. I don't know why they were angry at this ball player. I can't imagine it being his color, because there's an awful lot of different colors out there playing ball. Lots of talented people from all different races that we enjoy watching if you enjoy baseball. But this man took offense, and he is a black man, and he took offense. He said, if you are a city in America, you are a racist city. Now, it would be hard not to be offended by what they had done. And these people that are doing this, I have no clue why. They lack respect for life, and they lack respect for other people. But I don't believe that that is the majority of Americans. I really don't. I know I live in an isolated little area right here in the middle of the nation. I like to think of myself like the mother hen right in the middle with the wings reaching out from sea to shining sea. No one should ever be subjected to this, yet they are. And it really doesn't matter what color you are. I was looked down on for being a mother with a whole pile of kids when I walked into the school system here in this small town. This small town seems to be a little prejudiced. If you weren't born and grew up here, you were an outsider. Those things we deal with. We deal with them every day in our lives. And we shouldn't have to, but we do. And that's why how you nurture and raise a child will help them weather the storms, the bullies and the jerks. But the bullies and the jerks should not be in leadership. And how come we have some in leadership, regardless of color? I don't understand. I do not understand. Going back years now, many years, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, he was a racist. I don't know how else to put it. The FBI files have been revealed here, detailing speeches delivered by the heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali in American mosques. Remember when he, if you're old enough, you can remember when he switched over to Islam, to become a Muslim. This was in the 1960s, show a different, more racist and radical face of the famed sportsman. The speeches feature Ali calling whites crackers and white devils and telling black congregants that blacks want to be segregated from whites. Now, if you remember, in the 60s, we were doing the opposite. The speeches, which were released from a Freedom of Information Act request by Washington watchdog group Judicial Watch, revealed that Muhammad Ali had far more radical views about race than his more benign public persona might have ever believed. Not only did Muhammad Ali thunder that the 1964 Civil Rights Act was a swindle, it was a swindle on blacks, he also went on to excoriate whites, calling them blue-eyed, devil-white people, and insisted that the so-called Negro race is the original man is superior to all white devils. I don't like that kind of talk coming from whichever side it is. Whether you claim white supremacy or black supremacy or any race being supreme over another. Last I knew, in the biology of things, we all bleed the same color of blood. We were all made by the same creator. So how do we ever back this up? You know, I'm wondering, why did they even bring this out? Why is it important now? The man is gone. But here we have a sports commentator, and he's going off and calling everyone, everyone in the United States, every city is a racist city because of what a few did at this ball game. There were more not throwing things and saying things than there were that were. And I don't know what happened in that ball game. I didn't watch that ball game, but they should have been thrown out. They should have been thrown out. And maybe not allowed back in, ever. We have a diversity. We have a division in this nation that doesn't belong here. They talk about the wall at the border to secure our nation from invaders. We seem to be putting up walls around us as individuals, as races within our borders. The border wall is not about being a racist. It's about protectionism. It's not about isolationism. It's about protecting those who live here from outsiders who have not been approved. They haven't been checked. We have measles outbreaks. I haven't been able to bring that story to you. We have measles outbreaks coming in here. Things that we have kind of taken care of with our own children. And now here they are, those who are unprotected, coming in to expose our children to diseases. Not to mention the gangs that are coming in and those who want to do harm. There's those who are looking for work, and I do have some empathy for that. But then I look up and down the streets of my little town of people who don't have work. And I don't believe it's because they don't want to work. There are those that don't want to work. To respect life, to respect others regardless of color, regardless of how you look, regardless of the gender, respect one another and respect life. We seem to have put that to the side here in the United States of America. Tom Perez, the new Democrat National Committee chairman, this guy's a work of art, I'm telling you. It has nothing to do with his color. It has everything to do with his language and how he speaks. And if the Democrats ever want to bring back those who are registered Democrats who love life and liberty and respect life and liberty and others, they picked the wrong guy for their chair. We're going into a break. I want to talk about this a little bit, dealing with abortion. 877-895-5410 is the number to call. That's 877-895-5410. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, property, and prosperity. That's what we are about. And we will be right back. Prepared is just common sense. Flashlights, blankets, even water. But how will your family survive if access to the grocery store is cut off? It's not a scare tactic. It's reality. You need a plan. Weather emergencies, natural disasters, even civil unrest are in the news constantly. Be self-reliant. Ensure you have emergency food supplies to feed you and your family. That's where my new sponsor, My Patriot Supply, delivers. My Patriot Supply offers a four-week food supply for only $99. Survival food that tastes like home-cooked meals and includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. To order, call 888-411-7023 or online at preparewithbeth.com. 4 weeks of survival food that lasts up to 25 years. Shipping is free, 888-411-7023 or preparewithbeth.com. My Patriot Supply can't guarantee peace in the world from disaster or unrest, but they can guarantee peace of mind. Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
For centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from illegal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse of power with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
There is no fake news allowed. The cold, hard facts are what's happening in the West as well as where you are. Range Magazine's over 25 years of experience covers news that you'll never hear on mainstream media. As the winner of four consecutive Freedom of the Press Awards, Range Magazine is true to its written word. Journalism is not dead. Truth lives in Range Magazine. Don't miss the great stories, photos, and art that is featured in each of the Range Magazines. Call 1-800-RANGE-4U. Ask CJ about her Buckaroo calendar or her latest book, as well as special offer for CSC Talk Radio listeners. Home on the Range. Truth in Range Magazine educates Americans regarding the bureaucratic invasions in our lives, the taking of our land, life, and our liberty. Bring America home. Home to Range Magazine. Visit rangemagazine.com. Call them today, 1-800-726-4348. Tell them Beth Ann sent you home on the Range. And we have returned to listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I was talking about Tom Perez's statement regarding abortion. They won't call it that. They call it woman's right. And he said every Democrat, like every American, should support a woman's right to make her own choices about her body and her health. That is not negotiable and should not change city by city or state by state. Perez's comments came after the DNC decided to support Heath Mello in the Omaha, Nebraska mayor race. Mello, I'm going to call him Mello. It was discovered had previously voted to state legislature consistent with his personal pro-life views. You're not allowed to be a pro-lifer, according to Perez, if you are a Democrat. So much for choice. Well, this is what really sparked me today, was a comment made by a Purdue professor. And he argues about the images of aborted babies. You know, the pro-lifers, those who respect life, and realize that the choice of the woman is about ending a life. That's how we believe. It's not that I don't believe she should have a choice. It's that I believe she should understand what that choice truly is. And let's not sugarcoat it. This professor says that to show these aborted babies, are you sitting down, are you ready for this, is child pornography. Professor David Sanders, an associate professor of biology at Purdue University, accused pro-lifers who use images of aborted fetuses of participating in child pornography. Now, this is how ignorant I think people have become. It seems to me the more education they have, the stupider they become. I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's how I feel sometimes. He thinks fetuses are children, okay? So he thinks it's okay to kill children. Got that? He thinks fetuses are children, and he belongs to an organization that likes to show images of fetuses. No, I'm sorry. Back up. That's not his comment. That's a comment from another guy who is a pro-life. And this is what he said. What would you call the public display of a butt-naked body of a child? This is what this professor is saying. I would call it child pornography. Do they have their permission? Do they have the permission of the fetus? Obviously not. What is he saying there? If they have a choice, the fetus, to give permission, are they not alive? Do they not have rights? Is that what he's saying? That fetus has rights? Because they could or could not give permission to show their pictures. Sanders' debate opponent, pro-life activist Seth Dreyer, responded in a statement to the Liberty Conservative. This displaying of images of dismembered preborn children in public have long been considered protected political speech by federal courts, where displaying child pornography is a criminal act punishable with up to 30 years maximum in prison. The Purdue professor, I'm not sure I've made myself clear, says that it is pornography to show these fetuses that have been aborted and dismembered because the fetus did not give permission. If the fetus can give or not give permission, is that fetus not a life that has rights? What an ignorant way to put that if you're going to fight saying that this is not a life. So the mother's choice is to either murder the child who has no say, the child gave no permission to the mother to kill him or her. So where is the choice? Where is the respect for life? The Red Ribbon campaign that I have going is simply a picture of a baby in the womb, an ultrasound type picture. Can we not remember those we were unable to save? And in thus doing so, save a child. If you wear this t-shirt, if you wear the red ribbon, if you wear the little wristband that says cries from the womb, will it not start a conversation? And you can say, this life didn't give permission to die. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to respect others. That's what I believe in. I hope you do too. Before we close today, I know I said I was going to do this yesterday, but Range Conservative Foundation is where you can send a donation to C.J. Hadley. C.J. Hadley is celebrating their 100th publication in her 25 years of Range magazine. I want to have a card shower from my listeners. Send a card to C.J. Hadley, Range Magazine, Post Office Box 639, Carson City, Nevada, 89702. for a donation, send it to Post Office Box 1595, Carson City, Nevada, 89702. Or call me in the office and I'll explain that at 573-796-2166. Yesterday, we celebrated my 6th anniversary, or your 6th anniversary, our 6th anniversary for CSC Talk Radio. It has been my honor, my pleasure, and my privilege to be here with you each and every weekday morning. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Yesterday was a quiet day. We only had one caller as I was reminiscing and going down that lane. Then later in the day, I received a poem. It was anonymously sent. And I wanted to share that with you today. I want to end the show just a little different. And it's something that I believe really encouraged me yesterday, and I hope it will you too. And I thank you.
We love to hear you talk and share, and can tell how much you really care about liberty, freedom, and unborn life, and know for you there's been much strife. We all hope and wish and pray for your success each and every day. Hard to believe it's been 6 years that we've been following your career. So we thought that we ought to say that we love to listen every day. And know, somehow, some way, we really do, that God will help to get you through. So keep letting us call you on the phone, and we promise to help you bring America home.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
A girl needs accessories. So does a website these days. It's not enough to have just one accessory either. CSC Talk Radio is excited to announce we have an app for that. You can now listen to CSC Talk Radio easily on your smartphones, Android or iPhone. We have an app for that. Share this app-portant news with your friends and family. They can now join in the common sense. Calling all patriots. We have an app for that. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Listen to live streaming or the show's podcast designed for Triple L. Listening later leisurely. Accessories are necessary. Join CSC Talk Radio on your phone. We've accessorized. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Working with technology to bring America home. We have an app for that. csctalkradio.com. csctalkradio.com.
The Civil War did not end slavery, but it did put over 8 million black and white Southerners into the bondage of poverty. The Kennedy twins, authors of the best-selling book, The South Was Right, have done it again with their latest book, Punished with Poverty, The Suffering South. Did you know that slavery lasted 70 years longer in Massachusetts than it did in Mississippi? And did you know that until the end of the Civil War, the South was the wealthiest section in America, but since then, it is America's poorest? The war upon the South was initially executed to destroy real states' rights and make the federal government supreme in America. As pointed out in Punished with Poverty, the defeat of the South made big government in America not only possible, but it made it inevitable. Visit KennedyTwins.com. First it was our Native Americans, then it was our own Southern states. While nobody likes to talk about subjugation, we are now an entire nation ruled by big government, the feds. And dare I say, sovereignty is nearly dead. Punished with Poverty. Order today. KennedyTwins.com. Visit KennedyTwins.com.